So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you something about my experience. Many people are so far away from God in life that they believe they do not have to give an account. I did not believe that either until it was that time. Now I return to these poor people and bring them comfort. In between, however, I diligently visit the various schools in my world. May God give you strength so that you always direct your thoughts correctly, that you always act correctly and do not succumb to desires of this world. For in the world beyond it is difficult to give them up, they hinder ascension. So return to your place with God's strength and blessing. Greetings from God. End of recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Spiritual friend Joseph answered the following questions following Maximilian's report. Dear Joseph, as we know, the material things of the earth also exist in spiritual form. But for many it may be surprising when Maximilian spoke of breathing or breathing out. That presupposes the presence of lungs. Joseph, yes, the spiritual body corresponds exactly to the earthly body with its organs, which is condensed by matter. The spirit also perceives smells, just as it can consume spiritual food and drink. The higher the spheres, the more pleasant the sense it breathes in. Isn't it amazing that Maximilian recovered so quickly despite his stress? Did this happen because of his change of heart in the church? Joseph, it always depends on the insight of a soul. Some are very uninsighted and stubborn, just as they were as humans. This characteristic is expressed from the spirit through the human being. As different as people are in their way of expressing themselves, so are the spirits of people. One is very vindictive, can never get over something, another forgives and forgets after just a few minutes. It is the same with these beings. Those who are dissatisfied in the spiritual world and are at odds with their fate do not get any further. Now you have heard again and again how comforting beings go into all the deeper spheres and everywhere where our people are found. So this unfortunate man had seized the opportunity in the church and initiated this friendship with a messenger from heaven. If the unfortunate man had not been interested in this relationship, he would have stopped his own development. This happens to many spirits precisely because of their stubbornness. One must become free in the spiritual world and realize that one must move upwards by not stubbornly sticking to one's point of view, but by accepting the recommendations of higher beings. But every being that comes to the spiritual world immediately becomes aware of this, that there is a different government here and that there is only one state, only one ruler. And the laws and conditions of this ruler are made known to everyone. Everyone who comes over knows that he has to bow before God, and they all also know that God is the Father of love and justice. They know it, but they do not yet understand love and justice. And so one takes longer than the other to find the way. Report of the ascending spirit being Maximilian and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, phone tape recording and first publication in their magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. March 7, 1962, Thomas, homecoming, to poor spiritual conditions. How an ascending soul learns the conditions for spiritual wealth. Control spirit. God bless you. I am the control. I bring you all the blessing of God. God bless you. Thomas. God bless you. Dear friends or dear brothers and sisters, I am trying to tell you something about my first experiences in the spiritual world. My name is Thomas. I died, I think it was about 50 years ago. I had made many mistakes in the course of my life, but I believed in God. I had no idea of the other world. I didn't know, is it finished, or is there something? I didn't think about it in particular, I just lived my life. First and foremost I looked after myself and my family, and especially myself, because I thought, I'm my own best friend, and so I looked after myself first. Nothing so special happened in the course of my life. I was like many others. You had to work to have money, and I understood that, I was never without money. but I later found out that I hadn't acted correctly after all, because I was too selfish, I had thought too much about myself. Of course, if I had had any idea of what comes after death, I would definitely have lived my life differently. Well, I'll try to describe my first experiences to you, but I don't want to omit to say something about my death, I still remember it. I was ill for some time, I think it was a few weeks. When it was coming to an end, I was too weak, I stopped eating, couldn't speak, I was too tired. I could still hear the people around me, and it seemed to me as if I heard them talking from afar. I could no longer give them my attention, I could no longer answer them, I felt too weak. I also saw completely different things. I couldn't realize, am I experiencing this in a dream, or is it real? Because I saw my parents, father and mother, coming towards me from afar. There were also a few relatives who had gone into the spiritual world before me, but they were standing quite far away and waving to me. I saw them very clearly, but I was too weak to make a sound and say, yes, I'm coming to you or come to me. They seemed to be a little too far away from me. And then, on the other hand, from time to time I clearly heard the whispering of my relatives who were around me, and so I could not give my full attention to either of them. But I also think that it was because I lacked the strength. What I then felt and experienced was a being. It was not a person to me, it hovered over my bed and always seemed to be doing something to me. It was busying itself with me and I did not know what was going on. Then this hovering being stroked my head and the blanket with its hands back and forth. I wanted so much to hold out my hands to it, I had the feeling that this could do me good. But I didn't have the strength to shake his hand. Then I was overcome by emptiness again, I didn't see this being anymore, I didn't see my parents anymore, but then I heard the words of my relatives clearly again and was able to say something quietly. So the strength was completely different. My concentration could be so, I focused on my relatives one time, but then the others came and my eyes were simply drawn to them and my relatives seemed far away to me. But now my parents came closer and closer to me and now I saw them standing quite clearly in front of me. The figure was still floating above me, above my bed, and soon I saw that there were two of them working on me. I had the feeling that they were pulling something out of me. And they succeeded. They had stroked me with their hands until I could reach out to them and I had divided myself according to my ideas. I now saw and it was pointed out to me, now you are dead and there lies your body, look. I heard my relatives say, now he is gone. I floated back and forth in the room with the two figures for a while and then they pulled me away. I could no longer see my parents. They were gone. I felt dazed. I couldn't really determine where I was. As if by a gust of wind, I was carried away from the earth or from this space, from this room. And suddenly I was standing in a new world, a different world, and I was told, this is now the afterlife, everyone goes there. The two figures who had helped me to leave my body behind, who had pulled my soul out of my body, said goodbye to me and said, we have fulfilled our task for you. I didn't know them, I nodded to them. Then my father and mother stepped in front of me and held out their hands. But then other figures came again, and my father and mother were taken away again just as quickly. So I was actually standing all alone in this new environment. Of course, on the one hand I felt tired, on the other hand I was curious. The new world, the afterlife, so it is, I thought to myself, so you do live on. It's true that the soul lives on. And in a flash so many thoughts went through my head, I had so many questions and now and then an answer to a question. I remembered religious education and my childhood. Mother had said, angels live in heaven. I later thought, that's what they tell children. Now I had to actually experience it. In this world there were beings called angels. And now they were dealing with me and they said, later you will see your parents again and other friends and other acquaintances. But we recommend that you rest a little now. And they led me into a house. My eyes wandered quickly around and I realized that there was so much there that was similar to what was on Earth. I kept thinking, is that even possible? I just imagined heaven or this other world completely differently. You can move around here, you also have a body, you walk, you talk to others. And so I had so many questions. But I was too tired. So they took me into the house and showed me a bed. I could lie down there and rest, as long as I felt tired, I could sleep and stay there quietly. They would then come back later and look after me a little. It was all the same to me. I thought it was all a dream. I simply couldn't believe that it was like that, and yet I thought, I saw my father and mother, they were so alive in front of me, and everything is so alive, and now I'm lying here. But tiredness overcame me and I slept, I don't know for how long. I woke up because I heard voices and loud noises. But since I was all alone in the room, I felt abandoned. Nevertheless, I sat up. Suddenly, however, I had lost the feeling of tiredness and I thought, the sleep has done you good. Now I actually became aware of what I had experienced, it all came back to me. I could still clearly see how my parents had come to me, how the figure had hovered over my bed, how it had tampered with me and how it had pulled me out of my body. Then I thought to myself, now I have just been freed from my earthly body and now you will probably be brought before God's judgment. But this did not seem so frightening to me at first. Nevertheless, I did not like the surroundings very much. I dared to leave the house and nobody really paid any attention to me. I saw many figures, they came and went, and no one paid any attention to me. Then I thought, good, I will find my way. But I did not like this room that was assigned to me. I thought, if I have to stay here for all eternity, I will be unhappy, I cannot do that. I want, had to, but, I could not stay. For a short time, yes, that can be done, but not forever, as I thought. I had to leave behind a lot of things that were dear to me and no longer had them. I felt so pathetic. I had nothing left, just a few thin scraps on me, on my body, and I had nothing else. At first I thought, I will die of hunger here. Nobody cares about me, I will definitely not survive like this, I must die. I had the feeling that I would have to die again, because there is no food here. I did not know that I did not need it and that I was only tormenting myself by constantly thinking, I must have something to eat. And if I have nothing to eat, I will die. Yes, it became clear to me that I had died for the other world and I thought that perhaps there was no need for food here. And so I was interested in the things I saw. I stepped out of the house into the open air. The term house is less appropriate in my opinion. I would have said it was a well-furnished barracks, but not a house. When I went outside, I saw green meadows, some trees and gardens. But the gardens seemed so neglected to me, they were not cared for, you could see a few flowers, and they were half withered. Everything I looked at was actually something pathetic, and I was actually disappointed. I had imagined heaven to be somewhat different from this poverty and these modest buildings. Then I thought to myself, there is still so much space. There was so much free space. I looked at these buildings and thought, I will definitely get the stuff together to build a little house for myself. It didn't seem like an art to me to build such a house myself. But then I wanted to build it in a different style, not in the primitive way that I had seen far and wide. I thought to myself, where will I get the material from? So I went looking and looked more closely at these buildings, as they were built. I touched them with my hands and I had to realize, yes, all of this is so similar to what people have on Earth, and yet it is not the same. What people have is somehow solid. You don't have to handle it so gently, it is solid in its nature, whereas I had the feeling that these buildings could be knocked over by a gust of wind, they seemed so fine to me, although they were built so primitively. The material was therefore of a completely different kind. So I needed such material and I thought that in time I would definitely get it. If I had to stay here forever, I wanted to create a better environment for myself and at least a home where I could feel somewhat happy. I thought, when I have built a decent house, maybe my parents will come and live with me. And so I had only one desire, to have my own house. Nobody had really taken care of me yet, so I had just been walking back and forth. I also talked to others. They didn't show any particular interest in me, but they did answer me. And one day one of them was a little more talkative and I said to him, "I think these buildings here are so primitive." Then he said to me, "You haven't been here very long, have you?" And I answered, "No, I haven't been away from Earth very long." "Yes, otherwise you wouldn't say that," he replied. And I said, "Yes, I am a newcomer and I have been promised that I will be looked after and then I will definitely be taught." I said that I could build a better house for myself, but I would have to have the material. Could he perhaps help me and tell me how I could get the material, how I could build such a house? I would be grateful. He just laughed and replied, "You can search for a long time until you find the material for your house." And I asked, "Why?" "These houses were also built once, and as good as these barracks are, I can build myself a house too." And he replied, "You know, for every stone, for every grain of sand, you have to perform a spiritual deed. It is a long work until you have a whole house together." I replied, "Why? Why can I only build a house with spiritual deeds?" "Yes, on earth people trade, they have money and they exchange and buy. With money they get everything. What can you do? There is no money here. Here people don't trade with money. Here there are other goods and they have to be paid for differently. On earth it was easy to get rich, here it is difficult. Because if you have brought nothing with you, then, it is very difficult." "Yes, what do you mean?" I asked him. "Yes, see, if you come with such empty pockets as you and I and like everyone who lives there, then it is bad. You have to earn every little bit yourself, and that is not so easy. To improve your situation, you have to work first. There is no question of building a house. But there are some who enter the afterlife with wealth." I already thought about what this wealth meant. And he said, "Yes, that is precisely what it means, what you don't have and what I didn't bring with me either." And I said, "Well, when are they going to come and look after me and show me the way?" He replied, "Yes, just wait. You can take a look at everything and you can get in touch with everyone who is here and you can talk to them. Then someone will come and ask about you." And I asked him, "Can't we stay together?" He replied, "No, I don't have time. I've given you an answer. I have to make sure that I get a better position than I have now." And then he left. I thought to myself, "Good, I've heard something from one of them. But I can still talk to someone else." I didn't give up on the plan yet, and so I followed those who I had the impression weren't in such a hurry. It seemed to me that some of them had a lot to do. They were in such a hurry and off somewhere, and they came eagerly. They went in and out of their buildings in a hurry. I had the feeling that some of them were coming back tired, and I didn't know why. And so I followed those who I had the impression that they didn't have it so hard, that they were making things a little easier for themselves, that they had enough time. So I approached one of them again and said to him, "Well, can you perhaps tell me how it is possible to build a building like this one, let's say?" He looked at me in surprise. And this time I wanted to be careful. I didn't want to say that the house was primitive and that I wanted to have a nice home, but I said to him, "You know, I think that people live so close together and you can only be happy if you help to build a new building. After all, that is also to the benefit of others. I don't want a house for myself alone. Other people can live in it too." He replied, "Yes, if you think you can build a house, then start right away." "Yes, how?" I said, "I have enough space, I'll find it. But tell me, how do I get the material? And I can't get on with the work on my own, you could help me, and I would offer you the nicest place in the house for your help." He replied, "Oh, I won't do that. I'm fine as it is, I'm happy, I didn't have it as good on earth as I have here. I don't need to be hungry, I'm doing quite well. I'm not concerned about a new house, I don't want to build a house with you." And he walked away. Yes. And I saw that this was someone who wasn't interested in working, who liked these barracks and this primitive life. But I didn't like it, and so I had no choice but to seek contact with others. Then I saw a small group of brothers and sisters standing in front of the house, having a lively conversation. Then I noticed that a particularly dignified person was speaking to them, and I thought, oh, that must be one of the higher-ups who has just come down and is now looking after us. And I thought, after all, I can stand up for them too, and I want to listen to what he says. Then I just listened and actually heard nothing but admonitions. He expressed his dissatisfaction. They could have done more, and they had not attended classes now and then, and the work they had done was inadequate and the like. Then I thought, why is the work inadequate? I don't have any work, how can I do a job inadequately? Why do they have a job and where do they work? I didn't see anything, I didn't know anything, nobody was looking after me. So I approached this personality and said, allow me, I have only just come here and I don't really know my way around yet. I am ready to do something if you give me a job. He looked at me and said, wait, I will give you work later. And he continued to speak, admonished me and gave me more orders. I then stood a little to the side again and thought, yes, he will not find me anymore or will no longer be interested in me. Somehow I did not have the right contact with this being. I was just scared. I became unsure and thought, yes, maybe I will just let it go. As it is, I'm giving myself something, I'm offering myself some comfort, I'm going to relax for a while. You can always get in touch later. That's what I thought, and I then walked further and further away from this group and thought about it. But I was actually becoming more and more dissatisfied. Then I had the feeling that someone was following me, and I looked back. And it was actually this person. I thought, oh, I haven't been forgotten after all. And then he asked me, why did you run away when I told you to wait? I must have a job for you. Why did you run away? And I said, yes, I didn't take it seriously, I had the feeling that you had enough to do with the others and had already forgotten me again. No, here you don't forget anything if you say something, he said to me very forcefully. Then he asked me where I lived and I explained it to him. Although this person already knew where I lived, he asked me anyway. And I answered that I lived here and there. He continued, what do you always do? And I answered, I talk to the neighbor, I don't know much about it yet. Then he said, okay, next time the bell rings, you go after the brothers and sisters who are going to the area where the room is where they are being taught. You go with these groups and come into that house. I thought to myself, I've never seen such a special house. Because these buildings there, these barracks, I had looked at them all from top to bottom and from all sides, so to speak, and I never saw that there was any kind of gathering of brothers and sisters or that there was any teaching going on. But well, I wanted to do it. I thought, good, I'll have something to do, and remembered, after all, I have to earn something too. Then, when I heard the sound of the bells, I quickly got up and saw them busily coming from all directions. I followed them through the whole village. It was a medium-sized village, where I lived with the others. But then I suddenly found myself in front of a large bridge and we had to cross this bridge. It was actually a new environment for me. I hadn't even noticed that there were also rivers and streams. This bridge led over one of these rivers. On the other side there was a house that you could call a house. It was big and looked like a country house, and we had to go in. There were only two floors, but the house was very long and there was a big garden around it. There were no flowers, there wasn't much greenery either, but there were some small and large trees and a few bushes. That was a big difference from what was behind the bridge. I went in with the others and we sat down, each quietly in his own place. I also took a seat that was not occupied by anyone else. There was a small podium and on this podium were three, I would say, distinguished figures. They looked stern, but they were all beautiful, beautifully dressed, beautiful in face. They had a blackboard and they wrote on it and gave explanations. We who were together in this room all spoke the same language, so we understood each other well. These teachers who taught us also spoke our language, so we had no difficulties. I thought to myself, it's just like on Earth. We had been taught about right and wrong, and explanations had been written on this blackboard. They said they did this so that it would penetrate our mental memory better. They talked about the meaning and purpose of human life, and they also talked a lot about poverty and wealth. They explained the difference between human, earthly wealth, that meant money, people's possessions, and spiritual wealth. This was then illuminated. It is modesty that can become great wealth, but also helpfulness, charity, tolerance, oh, and there was so much that was talked about. All of this, everything was wealth, just as the person I had spoken to for the first time had told me. It was wealth, this wealth was alive, and it was, as they made us understand, the means of payment. If we had enough of this wealth, we could trade it, we could also barter, we could acquire property. But then they explained to us and drew on the board how much wealth we would need to have in order to own our own house. Yes, I thought to myself, by human reckoning, that is worth billions. You will never get to that point. You will never get to that level of wealth. I gave up on being able to call such a house my own. I would never have, collect, that much wealth. Never bring it together. That's how they explained it to us. But they told us that it was not at all impossible to bring together this wealth. And they told us about the great advantages, about the joys that one would have if one had such a house of one's own and a certain independence. He spoke of exactly what interested me most. It seemed to me as if he was only speaking for me. But I thought it would be impossible to achieve that, and that actually made me sad. I saw the impossibility of ever getting into a better situation if such wealth had to be brought together. When the signal was given that we should return to our house, because the beginning consisted only of the instructions, I was sad. I returned to my room, and my plans were suddenly shattered. I will never own a house. When the bell rang again after a while and we had to go back to class, I went too and was in a sad mood. On the way there I talked to the others and said, it is something completely impossible. Why are we being told about things that are beyond our reach? The others, however, had the feeling that it was not so unattainable, that it could be achieved. And I said, you have no idea how much it takes, how great this wealth must be. You are great optimists, you will never get there. Then such a special, beautiful male being came up to me, who was just about to go into this room or this house, and heard my conversation. He also saw my sadness and said, what, do you think you would never achieve something like that? I said, no, I am very sad. I am sad about the life I have lived, that I have not taken any of this spiritual wealth with me, and I am sad because I see the hopelessness. Then he said, you should not be sad. What do you think? You have not been here very long. Of course you will stay here for a while, and you will attend classes one day. After that you will go to work, and in the meantime you will be purified, and then we will give you a new opportunity to gather this wealth. I asked, what kind of opportunity is that? Yes, here, he said, in this world where you now live with us, you certainly cannot gather this wealth, but if we give you the opportunity to return again, to become human again and then to recognize this wealth in human life and to gather it together, then yes, you can return a very rich man. After your next life on earth you can come into possession of the house you desire. I was astonished. What, I have to become human again? No, no, I said, no, not that. I don't want to, because I don't know what I will do in the next life, whether I will burden myself and the like. No. Leave me here, give me the opportunity. Here one has a certain protection from evil. But if one has to live among people, one has no protection from evil and one is exposed to errors. No. Don't let me go back to people. Then he said, yes, look, what do you want here? To wait so infinitely long, to wait for this time, which seems impossible to you, until you come into possession of the thing you desire. Or do you not want to shorten this enormous time and risk going into a new life on earth and trying to attain great wealth in one fell swoop? You will certainly be able to do that, and we will teach you well here. We will now let all of this flow through your soul. We will increase your desire for spiritual wealth, so that even when you have taken on human form again, the desire for spiritual wealth will remain in your soul. If you want, we will help you.